welcome back. It's hour number two of Garden Talk live at KSRO Radio. That would be in Santa Rosa, California, for those of you listening somewhere outside the area. Our program has been on the air since 1987. I'm Steve Garner along with Gwen Kilcher. We do the show every Saturday morning. Delighted that you either found us or decided to give us a listen this morning. Rachel Spaeth and Keith Borglum, both from the Redwood Empire chapter of the Rare Fruit Growers Association, talking about the Big Cyan Exchange, which is next weekend at the Veterans Building here in Santa Rosa. We'll go back to that conversation in a couple minutes. Of course, the resident expert is Gwen Kilcher, writes the popular Plant Doctor column in the Press Democrat first and third Saturdays of every month for the past 25 years. She's a master gardener and also farms and grows on her 2.5 acres north of Santa Rosa. I want to thank a couple listeners for holding through the news. They've been on hold for a bit. Sandy, you're up first. What can we do for you on Garden Talk? Hi, Sandy.
Hi. How are you, Steve?
Doing great. Thank you.
Yes. I have a couple questions. I would like to plant a Honeycrisp apple, and I thought I would go to the sale next week, and I need a pollinator for it. What would you suggest as a pollinator that could be grafted onto the Honeycrisp?
Well, first of all, isn't Honeycrisp still under patent?
It is. Mm-hmm.
So we're not going to have them. We try to protect the farmers and not trade in products that are under patent.
Okay.
Because, you know, the farmers pay money and do a lot of work to get those.
So there's no patented, exactly. Or even GMO, right, at the...
There shouldn't be any GMO because now we're GE-free Sonoma County, so we try not to push that material.
Right, but no patented.
There's only one GMO apple out anyway out of Washington, and the only good thing about it is it doesn't turn brown if you leave it on your counter for a month.
Yeah.
So it's not something we're trying to do.
So is she out of luck at least?
Not at all. No. There's a website called orangepippin.com that has really good tables and charts. Mm-hmm. Cross-referenced about the spectrum of apples that will pollinate each other. So what you want is another apple that flowers on the same time. So it could be a later early flowering, a mid-flowering, or an early later flowering, just depending.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to take, if you want to be that specific and you don't have any other apple trees around that would pollinate it, that's the way you do it. You look it up online, or you just Google for apple pollinator trees, and one of the tables from one of the websites will appear.
Okay. Can they be, even though you don't sell them, can I graft or have grafted onto a pollinator for the Honeycrisp onto the Honeycrisp?
Sure you can.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that's a good way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have an apple that has 26 varieties on it right now. And then anytime I have another available stick, the root sucker that comes up or anything like that, I just stick another variety on it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I have never grafted. Can I purchase the Honeycrisp and bring it and have it grafted at the sale, or would that not be kosher?
No, that would be absolutely fine. Bring your own Honeycrisp. If you look up the information and you see what would be a good pollinator for it, or we do even have people that are more well-versed in apple pollinators that would be there too. They might be able to steer you in the right direction. You bring in your Honeycrisp and you pick some sticks up from the table, and our expert grafters would do that right for you. Or we do have grafting classes that happen all day long. So you could have them graft it for you to make sure that it's probably going to take, and then also learn yourself so that you can take some more sticks home and try it yourself.
Sounds good.
And Sandy, I have a Honeycrisp apple, and I also have Braeburn, Fuji, Gala, I forgot whoever else is out there, Gravenstein, and somebody, one of those or all of those, whatever, has been pollinating my Honeycrisp.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have neighbors that have apple trees around.
Not close enough.
You're not close enough.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
So you're out in the middle of nowhere.
We are. Okay. We are. And I have a Gravenstein, and I have a Sierra Beauty and a Granny Smith. And apparently none of those are the proper time frame for flowering.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, if you have room to plant more apple trees, go with Braeburn and Gala and Fuji and all those delicious ones. And somebody there will be pollinating your Honeycrisp. But in the meantime, get the Honeycrisp, take it down to that Scion and get all the different Scions you can and have even more fruit.
Sounds like a good idea.
Yeah. I like that.
Other question is about nectarines. Okay. We don't get a lot of chill days where we are, and a lot of the nectarines that I looked at took quite a few chill hours. Mm-hmm. Would you suggest any that maybe don't?
I don't recommend nectarines in Sonoma County.
At all, huh? Them along with the limes, huh?
Yeah. I use mine as an ornamental. I don't tear them out because they're so pretty. If they didn't have pretty flowers, they'd be gone.
Uh-huh.
Because they get root rot, I mean, brown rot.
They get brown rot. The fruit grows, you know, I'll look at it, it's rock hard green. I'll turn around, I'll look back, and it's rotten.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of the name of the nectarine. I've had so many nectarines, and like Keith is saying, one by one I've been pulling them out, except this one.
That doesn't sound very promising. We pulled ours out because the raccoons got them all, all the fruit.
Yeah. Well, if you plant peaches, the same thing's going to happen. So they're not going after your apple?
Don't seem to.
Picky eaters.
Yeah. But they had the last straw was a field day where they got everything on the tree in one night.
Oh.
And
just
when I went down to pick them in the morning, it was stripped, and the ground was just littered with pits.
Oh, wow. Well, so, I'd hate to suggest, you know, planting Asian pears or persimmons and pears themselves because the raccoons were going after those fruits in our yard. Mm-hmm. So, get one of those scarecrow things, you know, that, has water spray that when they come by, then they sense motion and then whole thing of water shoots out at them.
Another way to keep raccoons out, as long as your tree is fairly small, is you get a roll of about 6 foot tall, what's called 2x4 no climb fencing. Mm-hmm. It's got these little square 2x4 holes, and you take it and you make a spiral around it, like three or four or five laps, and then you take one piece of fencing and tie it onto the top, and you create this three or four or five level fence that they can't reach through. This works really good for deer also. And if the tree gets a little bigger, so a branch is going out where they can get it, you just unwrap the spiral a little farther to accommodate the bigger tree. And that'll keep raccoons out of your fruit for 5 or 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I also
that would help.
I also remembered something else. Chuck Gowdy, who's going to be on the 4th, was telling us about this red eye thing that he has. It's a little, like, maybe battery-operated or something. It's like that motion detector camera I was saying earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend of ours who's up in WikiUp, he put several of those out in his yard for raccoons and skunks and possums and everything. And so when it detects motion, I know, I think it has a constant red, like, laser light on it. And I think
and they
maybe
don't like
even
it.
David Ulmer was talking about that, too, a couple years back. They don't like that. I think so, but you know, depending on how big your property is, you have to have them radiating out in different directions. So wherever direction they come from, they see this red eye, and I don't know what they think it is, but they head out in the other direction. So these people, and Chuck Gowdy, who has all of these fruit trees in Sonoma County, hasn't lost any fruit because of this red eye thing.
Well, but, I've also heard of a using like a stainless steel stovepipe that's either 3 or 4 feet tall that they can't get to put around the trunk, and they can't get up that.
Yeah, I probably put motor oil on it or something on the outside to make it even more slippery. But, just keep that on when the fruit is ripening and then take it off because you don't want your trunk covered. You can have insects get in there, and it just makes a nice little haven for other little issues.
Mm-hmm.
So, that would work. But check into that red eye thing. And then Keith's thing about the fencing, that's going to be a lot less expensive than the little red eye contraptions.
I would think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I hope that helps, Andy.
Thank you very much.
Our Keep pleasure. Us posted. I want to know if you get your fruit
next
year.
There's also non-vegetarian options.
Mm. Non-vegetarian.
We'll leave that. We'll take a break at that point.
All right.
Thank you, Sandy. Nice talking with you. Judy, please call us back. We know you had questions about roses and rose pruning, and Peter had some suggestions about rat traps calling from Sebastopol. We're taking a break and come back, and no one on hold. Nobody on hold. So plenty of time to get in chat with Gwen and both of our special guests from the Redwood Empire Rare Fruit Growers, Keith Borglum and Rachel Spaeth, both experts in fruit tree and, of course, general gardening knowledge. Rachel is the garden curator right over there, 5 minutes away down at the Luther Burbank at Sonoma and
Santa Rosa Avenue.
Right there. Mm-hmm. Also, you take care of some 60-plus volunteers, don't you?
That I do. Work through the,
and did you prune roses recently?
I did. All my roses got pruned last weekend.
So you've been very busy.
Very busy.
And, of course, put this on your calendar now, the big Scion Exchange. It's coming up next weekend. Is it one day only? One day a year, and that day would be, what, the 28th?
Yes.
Next Saturday.
But if you join, we trade these things all day, every day between ourselves.
Yes.
So another reason to become a member full-time and also get in early for this big one day a year and all the other events. We won't even tell you about all the other special member-only events. You have to become a member to find out about those.
I'm Laura Ingram, weekday mornings 9 till noon on KSRO. This year, you can finally check losing weight off your New Year's resolutions with the Mark Patrick Hypnosis Seminars. The Mark Patrick Hypnosis Seminar will be in Santa Rosa this week on Tuesday, January 24th. Join the over 500,000 people who have attended the Mark Patrick Hypnosis Seminar weight loss programs and have had successful results. For only $49.99, you can lose all the weight you want and keep it off, 100% guaranteed. This Tuesday, January 24th, at the Hyatt Vineyard Creek Hotel in Santa Rosa at 2 p.m. and 6:30 p.m. Registration begins a half hour before. Arrive early because space is limited. Finally, lose the weight you've always wanted to with the Mark Patrick Hypnosis Seminar. Learn more and reserve your spot today at markpatrickseminars.com. That's markpatrickseminars.com.
This is Lawrence Amaturo, owner of News Talk KSRO, with good news from our community. From the upside, here's Steve Jackson.
Congratulations to David Cotting and Melissa Williams on another great summer of free live concerts at Montgomery Village. Tribute bands representing the Beatles, the Stones, Elton John, Jimmy Buffett, and even Frank Sinatra. Plus dozens more provided free live music every weekend and many Thursdays. But the big winners were local nonprofits who received almost $100,000 in donations. Thanks to Montgomery Village and their concert sponsors, Rodney Strong, Corbell, and Eagle Distributing. An 8-year total of nearly $500,000 has been raised for local nonprofits. Thanks to Montgomery Village.
Why not share your good news with me? My email is lawrence@mysonomamedia.com.
Hi, I'm Robert Haley, superintendent of Cotati Roner Park Unified School District. We're proud to be a district creating innovative programs, opening schools, attracting students, and preparing them for college and careers. Our vision is clear. All students are entitled to a successful education. Our focus is learning, and we are a team. We have many exciting programs and opportunities at all of our schools designed to provide an enriched education and meet the needs of all of our students. We are thankful for the tremendous community support we receive, which helps make our schools special places for children to learn. We have strong academic and enrichment programs, magnet programs, and distinguished schools from transitional kindergarten through high school. So we encourage you to visit one or more of them as open enrollment begins this month. Come see what we have to offer. For more information, check out crpusd.org. Happy New Year, Sonoma County. Let's have a great 2017. Cotati Roner Park Unified School District. Learning for a lifetime. Committed to the future.
Sonoma County's News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
It's always a lively morning when we have Rachel Spaeth and Keith Borglum join us on the show. They're both principals in the Redwood Empire chapter of the Rare Fruit Growers Association. They are encyclopedic in their knowledge of fruit tree growing and lore and husbandry. You can tap their knowledge this morning at 636-1350 on any fruit tree related questions, of course, and general gardening too. They grow pretty much everything along with Gwen Kilcher. So you have three experts in the greenhouse this morning and nobody on hold. A couple people got impatient with us having to stop for commercials, and I understand that. But please call back. No one on hold at this moment, 636-1350. And if you'd rather send your question via email, it's steve@ksro.com. The Redwood Empire website is loaded with free information, isn't it?
It is. We've put up a website, and we're able to archive all of the email and listserv discussions of the last 10 years. So if you go to the main, I know this radio show goes beyond the Sonoma County boundaries, but if you go to crfg.org, CaliforniaRareFruitGrowers.org, you can find your local chapter. We're called the Redwood Chapter, crfg-redwood.org. And if you go there to the Apple Talk section, it's a searchable database. So for example, if you have a question about walnuts. You can search walnut, and everything local that we've discussed about walnuts for the last 10 years is right there for you to see. Mm-hmm. I want to emphasize, we're an amateur organization. We do have professionals like Rachel and some of the nurserymen and the growers, but it's mostly amateur backyard gardeners. So you don't have to be intimidated by coming. Mm-hmm. You know, we all just try to help each other out.
That's really important that you said that, too. It's enthusiasts, basically.
Absolutely. And a lot of, you can see a lot of trial and error that happens mm-hmm. through there. People, you know, with different microclimates in the yard, because we have a lot of microclimates in Sonoma County that might be more pertinent to Bay Area or West County or, you know, whatever. So you can really kind of hone through all of the collective knowledge of everyone, which is really a great resource.
What is the most successful graft that you make? What has the highest percentage of success? What fruit tree?
Apple.
Not plum? I thought you would say plum.
You could take like a apple stick or scion, carve the end like a pencil, stab it into another apple tree, and you probably got at least a 50% chance of success.
Yeah.
Now, if you get a little more sophisticated than that, you know, I tell people, if you can cut your finger and put a bandage on it, you can graft an apple.
Absolutely.
And you will do that at some point.
I like
that. Cut your finger while you're grafting.
Definitely.
Yeah. That's a quote, scars. Keith. If you can cut your finger and bandage it, you can probably make a successful graft.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Speaking of grafts, though, do you still want people to bring their own bags and pens and, you know, masking tape or something to?
Oh, right. Mark, used to bring, you know, some supplies, baggies and things like that.
Yeah, if you come well prepared, what you would have is a gallon Ziploc bag, a Sharpie to label your scions, and some masking tape so that you can identify. Because otherwise, you're going to end up with a big bag full of sticks. You're not going to know which ones are plums or peaches or apples. So you want to make sure that you're labeling them individually. We will have available for purchase for $5 a little kit that has the Ziploc baggie, the Sharpie, some masking tape in there, and then also some parafilm that we use for grafting, for wrapping grafts, and a little sheet on how to take care of your scions. Because when you come to our event and you get this big bag of sticks, you're very enthusiastic and energetic, and you're like, I have 50 sticks. I'm going to do 50 grafts. And realistically, if you're waiting on the weather and everything else, it could take you 2 or 3 months to get all those sticks onto your trees. So knowing how to properly store those so that you'll still get success is really important. Typically, we just say, you know, a couple of spritzes of water in there or a moist paper towel, not soaking wet, just moist, and store it in the crisper drawer of your refrigerator, like your vegetable drawer is good. And I've grafted sticks that were a year old that you end up with less success towards the end, and you want to make sure that you're cutting off any desiccated regions on the bottoms of your sticks. But you can still be successful even a year later if your sticks are properly stored.
Okay.
So do you suggest that during this rainy season people hold off on the grafting, or can you go out there in the rain and go out there and graft? And
You could go out there in the rain and do it. I'm actually a little bit more hesitant with cold than with rain. Mm-hmm. Although the moisture does give you some issues, but you do end up with a little bit more bark slipping, and that can be a good thing or a bad thing. You don't really want moisture to get into your grafts, but if you're wrapping them with parafilm, you're kind of creating a layer there that isn't going to be super moist anyways. You do kind of want to get them either like pretty close proximity to bud break on those. Mm. So whenever your tree is starting to actively wake up, and some things you want to graft right before it wakes up. Some things it's okay to have sap flow happening. Some things you want to be fully awake if you're sticking that graft on there. And it depends on the kind of graft that you're doing as well. So if you're doing our typical just kind of tongue and groove graft where you're just cutting a wedge on one thing and a point on the other, for that, you can do that pretty much when your tree is dormant. If you're going to do like a chip bud where you're just cutting a bud off of a stick and putting it on there, you really want your tree to be awake to start feeding that bud as soon as possible.
Good morning, Emily. I was going to say welcome to Garden Talk, so I will say that. Along with Rachel and Keith and Gwen, what can we do for you? Hi.
Good morning. I wanted apple trees, and so I went to my nursery a couple years ago and just said, I want three little tiny apple trees. So I have semi-dwarfs, and they're in a row. First of all, I have a red grav, and a Gala. They're supposed to be heritage apples, a Gala that says Kids, K-I-D-D-S, D-8-T-M. I don't know what any of that means. Maybe you do. And then in the middle, I have a red grav. And then the guy in the nursery said, well, you need something to pollinate these. So the best pollinator is Golden Delicious. So I bought that and stuck that on the end of the row. And I'm wondering if I blew it. I want a few advice. It sounds like none of the pollinators you mentioned were red Golden Delicious. So I'm wondering.
Golden Delicious does work pretty well as a universal pollinator. I don't think, is that one patented, or we don't patent that one?
On which? Golden Delicious?
Golden Delicious.
No, that's an old variety. Yeah. We're about 15 generations down.
Right.
The Golden Delicious you buy in the store is not the Golden Delicious that the person who originally made it had.
Yeah.
If you get an old Golden Delicious from somebody, you know why they named it that way, because they were right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But when you say you're not successful, are you not getting apples?
Well, they're just babies. They're 2 years old now. And actually, the Golden Delicious produced apples right away, and the other two haven't. So I'm wondering if he gave me the right advice, is what I'm saying, or do I need to get a scion and, you know, put a better pollinator on there?
Well, maybe, but I frequently have young trees that won't produce fruit in the first 2 or 3 years. In fact, if any fruit show up, I purposefully strip it off because I want that tree to grow and put its effort into wanting to produce fruit rather than having fruit and wanting to produce seed.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I would say give it time and join the club and graft some more onto your existing trees and buy some more trees and plant those too.
But the Golden Delicious will pollinate the others. Is that what you think?
Probably. It Golden Delicious crosses with a whole lot of different kinds of apples, so they're hybridized that way.
Yeah, that's what I thought you said. Okay, good. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, and remember, join the club. Nice talking to you there. And actually, that takes us right to the bottom of the hour. So we'll take a quick break for news and be back with Rachel and Keith and Gwen answering all gardening questions, special edition of Garden Talk. And put it on your calendar now because you'll get busy and you'll forget. And then next Sunday, you'll go, oh no, I missed the Redwood Empire Rare Fruit Growers sign exchange again because I didn't put it on my calendar like Steve said to do. It's the 28th. That's Saturday. You can get in at 9 a.m. if you became a member at the door. If not, you have to wait till 10 o'clock, correct?
And it goes. Yes, and there'll be lots left at 10, 11, 12, 1. This is a good year. We don't have fire blight this year. Last year, we were very light on we refused a lot of cuttings because of blight. That's not the case this year. It should be a lot of scions available this year.
Yeah, and you talked about the fire blight and the responsible cyan exchanging and all of that that we had to talk about last year.
Yeah.
So it's a new year and it's a better year.
It is a better year.
We'll be right back. This is KSRO.
Hello, Sonoma County. I'm Steve Kerr, and this is the home of Golden State Warriors play-by-play, 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO.
Federal Reserve has
cut mortgage giants Fannie Mae
indicated interest rates are still going to go up this year as planned.
The Federal Reserve is not going to raise interest rates.
Are you confused by all the news coming from the housing, lending, and financial markets? How can anyone make sense of it all?
Hi, I'm George Adair of Bay Equity Home Loans. It's time to cut through all the rhetoric and present you with the financial news that you can use. Join me every Wednesday from 12 to 12:30 on air with George Adair. I'm going to decode the news that affects you, your financial health, and your well-being. Isn't it time to understand the news you can actually use?
On air with George Adair, Wednesdays at 12 p.m. on KSRO.
Equal housing lender, subject to credit approval, NMLS ID 76988. The transaction will be made pursuant to California Finance Lender Law and or California Residential Mortgage Lending Act under the Department of Business Oversight.
And now, here's a health update from the Marin, Sonoma Mosquito and Vector Control District.
In Sonoma and Marin counties, being outdoors hiking, camping, and enjoying the fresh air is what we do. Living in the tall grasses on the hillsides and the fallen leaves along the trails are ticks. Ticks are year-round in Marin and Sonoma counties, so be sure to protect yourself from ticks and tick-borne diseases by applying a repellent containing DEET to exposed skin. Wear light-colored clothing with long sleeves and long pants and check yourself for ticks. Don't forget to check your pets for ticks, too.
The Marin-Sonoma Mosquito and Vector Control District is an independent special district committed to protecting public health from mosquitoes and vector-borne disease. All programs and services are funded through benefit assessments and property taxes. Services are provided to all residents in Marin and Sonoma counties at no additional charge.
Learn more about ticks at msmosquito.com.
On today's SoCo Sun Show, I have a feeling we're going to talk about starting anew.
That's right. The new year is always a good time to make changes. Why not cover an outdoor patio for entertaining or expand a room for more usable space?
David, your crew at Sonoma County Sunroom certainly has the experience to offer a great variety of options.
Well, I'm happy to say that's true. And now is the perfect time to start planning for spring. Contact us at SoCo Sun. We'll come out and see the space you have in mind and discuss the options.
Your showroom also lets customers see exactly what you can do.
Absolutely. We have many displays on site and photos of our past jobs. Start your project today by visiting us on Santa Rosa Avenue, just north of Todd.
Get your project booked in January, and Sonoma County Sunrooms will provide up to 35% off and a $1,500 factory rebate. See more at SoCoSun.com. SoCo Sun, design, installations, remodeling.
Marches and rally coinciding with President Trump's full day in office. There are tens of thousands turning out at the women's rally and march in Washington, D.C. Their reasons for showing solidarity, differing from politics to personal choices.
Love Trump's hate, and I just don't agree with his policies, and I want everyone to know I am not okay with this.
It's life-changing, so we just decided we had to do it.
Trump couldn't be any more wrong for this country, could not be any more wrong for women.
In Chicago, police say they've reached their capacity to hold a march. Organizers say they originally estimated a crowd of 150,000. After spending his first night in the White House, President Trump and the First Family attended an interfaith service this morning at National Cathedral. It's a tradition for presidents. His next stop this afternoon, CIA headquarters, where he's expected to meet with agency workers. He'll be joined by his nominee to head the agency, Congressman Mike Pompeo. I'm Michelle Franzen. ABC News.
Sonoma County's most accurate, dependable forecast with KSRO's Daniel Trucios.
Cloudy and a few showers today, topping out at 54, 53 on the coast. Heavy rain tonight, low 48, 50 on the shores. A bit more rain for Sunday at 52, 53 in Bodega Bay. Cloudy with some showers for Monday at 50, 51 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
Thank you. rare fruit growers joining us on Garden Talk today. That would be Rachel Spaeth and Keith Borglum from the Redwood Empire chapter. I'm Steve Garner, along with Gwen Kilcher in the KSRO Greenhouse, as always, answering your questions, as we love to do at 636-1350. We have four open lines, only one person on hold, and no email at this morning. We've got 25 minutes left with our experts. You have plenty of time to get in with any general gardening questions. Of course, pruning, care, feeding, selection, choices of fruit trees that you might want to think about planting this coming year. All those questions can be answered. Or if you're having a fruit tree that's not doing what you think it should be, probably could give you some suggestions and advice on that. Nita, good morning. Thanks for holding and welcome to Garden Talk this morning at KSRO. Hi.
Hi there. I was inspired by Rachel saying that she's growing fruit trees in a mobile home park area, and that's similar to my living situation. I was going to go out and get an apricot, and I'm wondering, now that I'm listening to you about scions for the first time, can I graft a pear or an apricot onto a fig tree?
No, so you have to graft within the same plant family and then genus and then species. So all of the prunus, which are plums, apricots, peaches, nectarines, that also includes almonds and cherries, but those can be a little tricky. You could graft onto one tree. If you have a quince rootstock, you could graft quince, pear, and apple onto one, and fig only really works on fig. Figs actually work better to do like a scion cutting, to root a scion cutting, than to graft, although some people do have success with grafting those. Typically, you graft those in the dead of winter when it's super dormant, because the issue with that is you end up with the milky sap clogging the conducting tissue, and that's why people don't have successful fig grafts. So if you graft it when you don't have a lot of sap flow in there, you'll be more successful with grafting a fig. But for an apricot, if you're in like a similar situation like I am, where you actually have a lot of heat, since all the houses are close together and mobile homes are not very well insulated, we get a lot of radiant heat, so I can get away with growing some apricots. The Blenheim is pretty much the standard for what we can get away with here. Mm-hmm. And then there are also some other random ones throughout the county, though, that are pretty old. And there are a few of those that we're going to get scion material from this year, but they'll have very generic names because we don't know exactly what they are. So they'll be named by location instead of by actual cultivar. So, for example, we'll have one that's called Santa Rosa Junior College because the scion wood would be collected from Santa Rosa Junior College.
So does that make sense?
It does. Thank you very much. And I'll come and explore and learn more next weekend.
Thanks. Wonderful. All right. And become a member, too. Thanks for your call, Nita. So what have you been harvesting, Rachel, from your winter garden?
Oh, boy, from my winter garden now. Well, it's pretty much citrus time now. A kiwi is the big one right now, though. I have one of the original Hayward fuzzy kiwis, and my vine is an every other year producer. So this year I have a bazillion fruit, and next year I'll have a lot less.
Aren't they usually off bearing every year? Most of them.
Yeah. And then since I'm not a good person to talk to about pruning them, because mine is so huge. It's a 35-year-old female that's trellised onto a trellis that's 25 feet by 10 feet by 8 feet, and so I kind of just take the hedge trimmer to it to try to keep it in the space that I want it in. If you're trying to grow them commercially, then you have to do things a little bit differently because they do fruit on new wood.
How many have you harvested so far?
I've harvested 3 30-gallon buckets worth full, and I probably have another 4 days of picking. So when I harvest them, I don't thin them because I just don't have time. I have so much other stuff to do with maintaining the 1.6 acres over there, coordinating the volunteers, doing rare fruit growers, PhD, got a 4-year-old at home. So
oh, yeah.
And sometimes I like to sleep. But so we get all these kiwi, and then we don't really... I only have so many volunteers to take kiwi home, and I end up being like the zucchini lady. People close their blinds when they see me coming. We don't want any more kiwi. So I take them to senior centers, women's recovery services, homeless shelters, places like that. And then anything that's like really small ping pong ball sized fruit that, you know, you can't even get a teaspoon into, I take up to Safari West and they feed bison and giraffes. So even though I have this huge abundance of kiwi, we try to make sure that it doesn't go to waste.
Okay, so they're pretty easy to grow?
They are pretty easy to grow. The Hayward Fuzzy that I grow is an incredibly long season kiwi. So it flowers for us in May, and the fruit typically isn't ripe to harvest until about the middle of January. Now, we had a little bit more frost this year. So typically what happens is you get one day of frost, and that knocks all the leaves off of the vine. And then you get another day of frost, and that converts all the sugars in the fruit. And so that's how you really end up getting the good kiwi fruit. Ours, we have a little bit too much heat in the summer to grow kiwi here, so you get a little bit of leaf burn if it's a young plant. So what I typically tell people to do is to grow it on like a southeast side so that you're going to get afternoon shade on your kiwi.
Okay, good tip. So how frequent is mislabeled fruit when I go to buy a fruit in the store, Keith? Is it, am I getting what I think I'm getting?
The studies say that up to 70% of the fruit that's commercially available in larger retail outlets is not labeled to the actual variety. They use what's called trade names. It's like cola versus Coca-Cola. You know, you can't be making and selling your own Coca-Cola, but you can make your own cola. Mm-hmm. One of the big examples commonly available is what the apple called Pink Lady.
Oh, yeah.
Pink Lady's available in a lot of stores. The actual variety is an apple originally from Australia called Cripps Pink. And there's also a Cripps Red, which is one of the latest hanging apples. I just picked my last apple last week. And I forget the trade. Sundowner is the trade name for Cripps Red. So those types, they're not patented. They're off patent anymore, but they're still trademarked. So we can have them at the Scion Exchange. We just don't label them as Pink Lady. We label them as Cripps Pink, which is compliant with the laws.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That makes perfect sense.
And related to that is you can create and name your own apple. Like if you want to name an apple after your kid. I took a seedling off at Gravenstein and gave it to some friends that moved away who had a 8-year-old daughter named Sophia, and her dog's name was Sweetheart. So I dug that tree up, potted it, named it Sophia's Sweetheart, and gave it to him. Now, for $300, you could register that name with the federal government and get a trademark on it.
You didn't do that.
I'm too cheap to do that.
So are you planning on naming a fruit tree after your 4-year-old or anything like that, Rachel?
You know, maybe. We'll see. She could probably name her own fruit tree. She likes to plant lots of seeds and things, so maybe I'll let her do that.
We'll take a break. Be right back and take more calls at 636-1350. I have about 15 minutes left with the Redwood Empire Rare Fruit Growers. If you're just joining us, still have time to get in with a question or comment on anything to do with the plant world. That's what Garden Talk is all about. 636-1350, and you can have the expertise of Gwen Kilcher also at your fingertips.
Golden State Warriors basketball on KSRO 1350 and FM 103.5 is brought to you by Hansel BMW.
There are over 172,000 licensed real estate agents in California. 172,000 possible outcomes when it's time to sell your home. If you want to sell your home faster, for more money, with less hassle, call Mike Kelly and Allison Norman.
I've been selling homes full-time in Sonoma County since 1978. Allison and I will build a strategic marketing plan to help you sell your home so you can list it, sell it, and get on with your life.
We know how to position your home for maximum appeal, when to launch the campaign, and how to use every tool in the arsenal, online, offline, on the air, and in the air.
With drones.
To put your property in front of people who are ready to buy.
Show us your home and we'll show you 3 quick and easy tips to make your home look better to buyers, even if you don't use us.
Sell your home faster for more money with less hassle. Call Mike Kelly and Allison Norman, the Kelly Norman Team. Don't forget to listen to Mike and Allison on the Real Estate Hour, Sundays, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. on KSRO.
Does healthy eating habits fit into your New Year's resolution? Then shop the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market for fresh local produce. It's important to know where your food comes from, and you can meet the local farmers and ranchers who raise quality, locally grown food products for you to enjoy. At the market, you can savor a variety of delicious prepared foods. The market offers fresh local ingredients for healthy dinners, a variety of quality meats from beef, chicken, and pork to rabbit, along with seasonal fruits and vegetables. Taste the local goat cheeses from Two Rock Valley Goat Cheese. Sample the wonderful baked goods, jams, spices, and pastas. Everything you need to create memorable, healthy dinners is at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. Open year-round, rain or shine, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 till 1 p.m. at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
Downtown is thriving. It's the heartbeat of Santa Rosa. Aside from food, drink, shopping, and entertainment, there are plenty of options to stay fit.
Hi, this is Brett from the Trek Bicycle Store. We live in the most incredible county to ride a bike. Whether you enjoy riding on the road, in the mountains, or on the way to work, we've got you covered at the Trek Bicycle Store on Mendocino and 7th.
Come to Tone for Pilates, breath-centered yoga, and dance. We welcome people of all fitness levels, women and men. You'll find the joy and movement at Tone. We're on Ross Street, downtown.
Hi, this is Danny at Heart and Soul Sports. We have all the great running shoes. We also have clothing line to go with those. Love to fit you in any way we can. Heart and Soul Sports, corner of 4th and Brookwood, just up from downtown.
There are many ways to maintain good health downtown, the heartbeat of Santa Rosa. See more and learn more at srcity.org.
Okay, we'll go back to calls, and one quick email. Hi, Steve Gwen, can you ask your guest, Keith? That's your Keith, that's the same one he's talking about, to give the home gardeners the name of the pippin apple cyan wood that you talked about in the first hour of Garden Talk.
Yeah, that's the Hauer pippin, H-A-U-E-R. And we will have some cyans at the exchange, but you might not want to wait until the last minute. Because there may not be any beyond the first hour or two.
Okay, so it's the Hauer, H-A-U-E-R.
Yeah, excellent, excellent fruit.
Ed from Petaluma, welcome to Garden Talk live at KSRO. What can we do for you, Ed?
Well, two questions. I have a 8 to 10-foot citrus tree in Healdsburg. It's a mature tree. Some years it does produce really well and other years not. And I've never really fertilized it. Do I have to fertilize it? And then my second question, in the summer when I'm trying to conserve water, how often should I really water it?
How big is this tree? How old?
Maybe it's probably about at least a 20-year-old tree, I would say. It's probably 8 feet tall, 9 feet tall.
And it's been growing beautifully. It's healthy. It's looking good.
Yeah, some years the leaves are a little not the vibrant dark green you like. But most years, and I think it's because maybe I water it more some years than others.
Okay.
Depending on our you know, water usage issue we have around. But I'm wondering how often should I water it?
Well, what's growing under the tree? Anything under there?
A little bit of grass.
Okay. No plants? Nothing? Just
No. Some, you know, maybe 4 or 5 feet away, some rose bushes.
Okay. What I would do is get, like, a half a yard or maybe even a yard of some kind of compost material, and you can put it underneath the canopy of the tree and keep it like a foot or two away from the trunk of the tree. Okay. And you could put it, you know, 3 to 4 inches thick if you want. And that's going to act as mulch. And being that it's organic material, compost material, it's going to break down and slowly feed your soil and add all kinds of nutrients and goodies and things to it, help the microorganisms get going. So you start feeding your soil, you're going to help feed your tree. And you won't have to buy any commercial kind of fertilizers. So especially when this tree is 20 years old. And then also with the mulch on top of the soil, it will help hold the water in for a long time, so you don't have to get out there and water as often. So with your tree, too, if you had to water it, say, come July, you would give your tree a good deep soaking, but infrequently. I mean, you want the roots are already where they are now because of the age of the tree. So you just want to make sure it has enough moisture in the soil there. So, you know, if you're giving a little superficial water all the time, all these years, obviously that was, you know, doing something, but maybe the tree is tapped into some water somewhere in pockets below the, you know, so many feet down in the soil. Keith?
You might.
Okay. When you say infrequently, is every 2 weeks?
Maybe? No, maybe once a month or something. But you can take a shovel and dig down into the soil and dig down about 6 to 8 inches. See how wet or dry that soil is, and that'll give you a pretty good indication of if you need to water or not.
Keith, you wanted to add something?
Yeah. In watering in the ground, just like in a pot, you know how you can have a potted plant and it's really dry and you pour a cup of water on it and it all runs out? The water isn't going in to the dirt. So what you need is what's called a surfactant. The cheapest surfactant is just a couple of drops of dish soap that don't have antimicrobials. So what you do is take at most a teaspoon of dish soap, put it in a 5-gallon bucket, drill about a 1/64-inch hole at the bottom of the bucket so the water just barely leaks out, but it's going to be water wetter. That is going to soak down in and create a blossom of water as deep as that water will go. So even in my potted plants, I will take them and throw them in a bucket of surfactant water and leave them there for a few hours. And then when you water that pot or that tree, for months thereafter, the water's going to go in, not off.
That's a really great tip. Thank you, Keith. Ed, we hope that helps.
That does a lot. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Before we take our break, Carrie has a question about growing. Oh, Carrie does not have a question about growing basil. So we will take our break. We will be right back.
Garden Talk and the Good Food Hour with Steve Garner, Saturday mornings 9 to noon on 1350 in the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
James Van Prague, world-renowned psychic medium, will be at the Center for Spiritual Living in Santa Rosa for an evening of spirit on Friday, February 10th at 7:30. This unique, one-of-a-kind evening will bring you in direct contact with the spirit world and deliver detailed messages of love, comfort, and encouragement from loved ones on the other side to members of the audience. You'll learn to open up your heart and gain a connection with your own spiritual self. You'll leave forever changed with a fresh new perspective on life and death, a stronger connection to the spirit world, and the comforting awareness that you're not alone on your spiritual journey. This event will sell out and tickets will not be sold at the door. James will also hold an all-day workshop on Saturday, February 11th. Don't miss James Van Prague at the Center for Spiritual Living, February 10th and 11th. For more info and to buy tickets, go to steppingstonesbooksandgifts.org.
2017 is underway, and hey, what better way to start the new year than with a new Nissan from North Bay Nissan in Petaluma? Did you know that Nissan is the fastest growing automotive brand in North America? Why? Because you can always find incredible deals, like the new Sentra for just $99.
Start the new year with a new 2016 Nissan Sentra SR lease for just $99 a month. Plus tax for 36 months with $34.99 due at signing. Excludes tax, license, and first payment. Zero security deposit, 12,000 miles per year at 15 cents per mile over 36,000 miles. Plus finance through NMAC on approved credit. Five at this offer. Offer expires 1/31/17.
It's a new year. Why not take on 2017 in a new Nissan? It will be a resolution you'll be glad you made. It's your day at North Bay, just off the 101 in Petaluma and NorthBayNissan.com. North Bay Nissan, a proud member of the Avante Auto Group.
North Bay Nissan.
Well, we really always need a whole day with our Redwood Empire Rare Fruit Grower Zest. There's so much wonderful information they bring. Keith just passed me a package, and it says here, the Comey's pears are considered by many to be the sweetest and juiciest of all pears, rated very highly by every expert as the queen of winter pears. You've just passed me a baggie full of signwood.
Yeah, this one is the Doyenne du Comey's, the queen of Comey's pears.
Wow.
Mostly, at its best, it's a cooking pear. Pears, unlike many other fruits, you should pick off the tree and let them sit for a week or two to be at their ultimate ripeness. Now, the Doyenne du Comey's, you pick it, you let it sit for a week or two until the neck gets soft. That's how you tell when a pear is really starting to be ready to eat. But this one, you cut it in half, scoop out the seeds, make a little bowl, drop in a golf ball of goat cheese with a little bit of honey, bake it. 350 for about a half hour. I've had numerous people tell me it was the best thing they've ever eaten in their life.
Where is this package of signwood from? What tree?
I have a farm that's one of the original Hessel farms, like the town of Hessel, the family of Hessel. And it is at least 60, 65 years old, the Hessels planted it. So there is a bit of a local angle to it.
Oh, my. And you can get the signwood at the exchange
next
Saturday.
It'll be at the exchange.
It's going to go fast.
Trees originally from France in 1849.
A final call this morning. Diane has a question about mandarin orange trees. Hi, Diane. Welcome to Garden Talk. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, what can we do for you?
Okay, I have a gold nugget mandarin orange tree, which I planted about 2 years ago in a oak barrel, half barrel, and it's bushy at the bottom. It's only about maybe a foot tall or a foot and a half tall at the bottom, and it's bushy. But then this year it sent up a shoot about 2 to 3 feet tall at least. It has very few leaves on it, and it has a lot of thorns on it. And so should I cut that off, or what's going, or should I stake it? Is that going to, I just don't know what to do with it. I'm afraid if I cut it off, I'll stunt the tree or something, but what should I do?
Is it coming from below where all of your other branches are?
Oh, I didn't really look at that.
I think it probably is. It's probably your root stock that's coming up, because most citrus trees are grafted, especially the mandarin, if it's a seedless mandarin in particular. So that's probably a root sucker. You could graft the citrus, although citrus is very difficult to graft, and you have to really make sure that you're getting clean scion wood. Don't just grab something from your neighbor's house or anything like that. So if you're not going to graft it, cut it off as close to the base as you can. Sometimes giving it a little tear so that you kind of damage that is good. And it will be something that happens throughout the life of your citrus tree, where that those roots are starting to come out and really be prolific in your branch form. So noticing that the leaf pattern is different and that it has thorns versus your other variety being thornless is a very good indication that it's a root sucker.
Yeah, I'll have a look at that. And then lastly, I have a Bartlett pear tree. And
we've got about 30. We only have about 20 seconds, Diane, so make
it
quick.
Can I graft any kind of pear onto that Bartlett with your scion?
Absolutely.
Yes, and Bartlett will pollinate almost any kind. I've got a Bartlett with at least 15 kinds of pear. You can graft both European and Asian to a Bartlett, but you can't graft Europeans to Asians. So, yes, graft the heck. We got a member that's got 100 kind of pear on a Bartlett tree.
Wow.
Wonderful. I'll try it.
There's your answer, Diane.
Alrighty, bye.
Okay, put it on your calendar. It's next Saturday. What time?
9 for members, 10 if you're not.
That was easy. How much is admission?
It's free if you're a member. It's $5 if you're not.
And how long does it go to?
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock. Where is it?
At the Vets Building on Maple Avenue here in Santa Rosa.
Okay. It sounds like fun. There'll be all the members of the Redwood Empire Rare Fruit Growers will be there, experts on hand to answer all your questions. More signs than you can shake a stick at. Oh, that was a good that was a good one, Steve. Keith, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And Rachel, always just great to see both of you.
Always a pleasure.
And Gwen, next week, who do we have coming in?
We have Gary Blossie.
You won't want to miss this guy. He's a legend, a treasure in Sonoma County growing.
He is,
Coming up next, Chef John Ash. We're going into the KSRO Pie Shop to celebrate National Pie Day on the Good Food Hour.